mask mandates are returning to the White House and the House of Representatives, and the language over that is escalating. This morning, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi called Republican leader Kevin McCarthy a moron for his opposition to wearing masks in the House, a day after the CDC recommended that even vaccinated people wear masks indoors in areas of high coronavirus infection rates. Also, as early as tomorrow, President Biden might require all federal employees to be vaccinated or submit to weekly testing. Time to convene our political strategist to talk about the politics of this and the fallout from yesterday's opening hearing of the House Select Committee investigation into the January 6th insurrection. This week, Jamal Simmons is our Democrat. Hi, Jamal.
Hi, how are you?
Hi to you. And Matt Mikowiak is our Republican. Welcome, Matt, as well.
Thanks for having me.
And Matt, at that hearing, four police officers teared up about physical and verbal abuse at the hands of what they said were Trump supporters. Many Republicans in Washington pointedly say they didn't watch. And other voices ridicule the police. The right-wing blogger Raheem Kassam wrote, "Is there really a police officer crying about hurdy words live on national TV right now?" Your thoughts on what appears to be a Republican strategy of avoiding or making fun of Capitol Hill police officers?
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't endorse making fun of any police officer. You know, Republicans have stood with police time and time again as Democrats have defunded the police departments all across the country. But in terms of the hearing yesterday, I don't know how much it really means. And the reason I say that is this is really a question of criminal charges. And we have seen something like 500 people be arrested at this point. Anyone that violated the law needs to be arrested, needs to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. That was a national security event. It was the first time our Capitol has been breached in since like 150 years. The Capitol should have been better protected, and I hope we learn more about that through these hearings as well. So, look, I do think this is a question for DOJ, a question for criminal prosecutions and criminal convictions. It does look to me a little bit like political theater, but certainly I want to hear from Capitol Police about what they experienced, what they've gone through, what they've learned, and how we can make sure this never happens again.
Jamal?
Well, it's interesting that Matt brings up the point about the protection of the Capitol. It's like being mad at a homeowner for not having a great alarm system when somebody broke into their house. I mean, you should be mad at the burglar, right? Like, we should all be upset at the people who breached the Capitol. And if you want to talk about security at the Capitol, you also got to talk about Senator Mitch McConnell, because he's the Senate Majority Leader. So he would bear some weight here as well. Listen, this is a very important thing that's happening right now. Our Capitol was breached by insurrectionists who wanted to stop the democratic process. This is it's worse than another country coming in. These were people inside of our country who were trying to take down our country. We have got to get serious about these white nationalists. And I'm not kind of a big alarmist about the end of the world, but this is one of these things that could spell the end of the democracy. And if we let them get away with it, who knows what happens next time?
Well, and Matt, House leaders, GOP leaders, are saying that Nancy Pelosi has to answer questions about Capitol Hill security. Doesn't President Trump have to answer questions about his role in inciting the riot or failing to stop it soon enough despite calls from trapped lawmakers? Or how about Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan, who all but admitted yesterday that he spoke to Trump on January 6th? Do you want to hear what they talked about? Who do you think should be subpoenaed?
Yeah, I mean, we generally don't have a history of subpoenaing presidents. The one exception, obviously, is Bill Clinton with what he was dealing with, which I know a lot of people think was about cheating, but it was actually about lying under oath.
Right.
So, you know, that question, I think, of subpoena power and subpoenaing a president, I think will get tied up in the courts if the speaker and if the select committee go in that direction. I'd like to know more, but I also think this committee is unlikely to find very much. And as I said before, I think this is a question for criminal convictions and criminal charges, not a question for political theater. Select committees on Capitol Hill that are partisan circuses generally don't provide much light. They provide a lot of heat. I hope that isn't the case this time, but I didn't like the fact that the speaker rejected two of the Republican-appointed members. That, to me, is not how you engage in bipartisan activity. That's how you engage in partisan activity.
Yeah. But, Matt, I just have to ask, is it really political theater to give Capitol Police officers the chance to, as many of them said, they're now under psychological treatment, the chance to speak? That's what it was.
Well, police officers have a chance to speak anytime they want. I imagine they could be interviewed at any time about this
topic. No. There's in the same Capitol that they protect. In the Capitol,
sure.
They're protected.
Well, we already asked them about that, and I already told you I was happy to hear from them, and I'm always happy to hear from them.
But again, I think the question is this committee serious? It's not bipartisan. It's a partisan committee in that sense. The speaker put two vocal Trump opponents on the committee against the express wishes of the minority leader. That is not how the House operates. That is how select committees can operate, but that's how they're using it here. And so I just think, as structurally, it's hard to take this thing all that seriously. Again, I think DOJ, the U.S. Attorney's offices, attorneys general across the country, that's where this is really going to make a difference, not a political circus up on Capitol Hill, which I think these committee hearings are going to increasingly become that.
Yeah.
You know,
Jamal, the Republicans,
the Republicans, you know, the Democrats tried to build a really big boat that included the Republicans. The Republicans blew it up. So now they've got a smaller canoe to try to accomplish the same thing. And they're mad that they're doing that. The reality is the Republicans don't want to talk about what happened on January 6th because there are Republican-aligned forces, the people who are animating the Republican Party, in league with the sitting president of the United States to stop the Democratic counting of votes in a national election. That is what this is about, and they don't want to talk about it because they think it's going to be bad for them electorally, not worried about what's being bad for the country as a democracy. And I think Donald Trump being in league with insurrectionists is far more important than Bill Clinton having an illicit relationship with an intern.
And lying about it, which is an important
And lying about it, sure. But the President of the United States is lying about the fact that he wants to disrupt the government of the United States. Like, they're now telling lies about what happened on January 6th. That is far worse than anything Bill Clinton ever did.
Matt, I want to ask you about lies. Because you now have a huge percentage of Republicans believing that this was not an insurrection. You have a percentage of Republicans believing that the vaccine doesn't work. You have a huge percentage of Republicans believing that the last election was invalid. Do you worry about the future of your party? Right now, Gallup shows only 24% of Americans register or consider themselves Republican. 44% are independent, 30% Democratic. Do you worry about that?
I don't worry that in that poll there's a 6% difference between registered Republicans and registered Democrats. No.
Do you worry about lies? Republicans are...
Yeah, no. Well, you asked me both. So, sure. Look, I don't support lying, if that's your question. No, I don't. I do think there is some conspiracy theory theorists on our side. It is being generated by some of these news sites on the right that are trying to get clicks and trying to get donations and do those kinds of things. Look, I think there are in the three areas you mentioned. I think there are some legitimate questions, but ultimately, no, I don't believe any of the things you just said are accurate. And so we do have to be accurate. We have to be factual. We want the other side to do the same thing. You can have healthy debate with different opinions, but we have to be working off shared facts. And that's why I don't promote those kinds of conspiracy theories. I'm very careful in the language that I use.
And Jamal, I got to ask you about the vaccines. Do you think President Biden should mandate them to the extent that he can and may? We're hearing he may, you know, government workers. While this is still a vaccine that is, it's not under emergency use, but it has not been fully cleared by the FDA. Do you worry about that backlash?
Certainly there will be some political backlash if the president tries to lean in on this. The reality is, though, that we've got... The president does have the ability to encourage people to do this and to make life more difficult for people who don't, because the people who don't get vaccinated are making life more difficult for the majority of Americans who are trying to take the health seriously. And I just got to tell you, I've got a 21-month-old daughter who had a respiratory problem when she was 8 weeks old. We have worn masks the entire time because we don't want to bring the coronavirus home to our kids who cannot be vaccinated. And I think if nothing else can be true in the country, we should all unite around the fact that we should not put children in jeopardy who cannot get vaccinated. So at least wear masks around kids in public, in public spaces. And that means teachers, healthcare workers, and in fact, if you work for the government, perhaps you should be doing the same thing.
It's for other people. Matt, I want to ask you about something you tweeted. You tweeted out, wow, last night after fellow Texan Jake Elzey, have I got that right, He won a special election over the Trump-endorsed Susan Wright to fill a congressional seat left vacant by her husband, who died of the coronavirus. Now, Elzey told supporters, voters in the district, want a positive outlook.
Yeah,
they want a Reagan Republican. Go ahead.
Yeah, look, it was an interesting result. Look, these special elections, this was a special election runoff, so it's even smaller. It's even more narrow. It was an interesting...
Oh, and he's disappeared completely. Matt, are you there?
was an interesting race, and Club for Growth spent about $1 million in negative ads against Susan. So Trump's endorsement didn't go very far. In this case, he didn't really work it that hard. He put a statement out, he did a robocall, and he did one teletown hall the night before. That's really not very much. So I don't know that it tells us everything, but I don't know that it doesn't tell us anything either. I think it was a unique race with unique candidates. But if Trump's going to try to endorse and make a difference in these races, he's going to have to put his shoulder to the wheel and do some actual work.
Well, and by the way, we just lost a little bit of your sound. So the Trump-endorsed Susan Wright, whose husband died of the coronavirus, lost to a Texan who's saying, you know, I'm a Reagan Republican. And some people think there's something to see in the tea leaves there. But Matt Mikowiak, as usual, he's going to take a closer look. Matt Mikowiak, a Republican strategist, thanks so much. And Jamal Simmons, the Democrat, thanks to you as well.
Thank you for having me.
I hate the gremlins. It's here and now.